Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm going to bring Pastor Wanda on in a minute,
Well, I'm going to play a couple songs here to get us started and in the mood. Amen. I'm going to play a song here called Brother Jack.
Underwater city, the sound of feet is holy breath.
that was Lamb by Elevation Worship featuring Tiffany Hudson. Amen. All righty. Let's bring on Pastor Wanda. Okay. Here we go. Pastor Wanda. How you doing tonight?
I'm blessed in ultimate favor, rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is thy strength.
Amen.
Amen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
All right. We have a great message tonight that God has given me. We're still on restoration of all things. God can restore all things. But I'd like to give honor and praise for him to be the head of my life. And welcome, Rainbow Ministry, Women of God, Daughters of the King. And it's going to be awesome. I hope you have your paper and pen. We're going to look at A, restoring the sanctification in the temple, restoring sacredness to the Sabbath, restoring purification to God's people, and restoring all things to their design. Amen? The first one we're going to be on, okay, we'll be 1:13 through 1. Hold on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. I've been waiting to come on, so I'm so excited to bring this message because it's something we all need to hear. Amen. And a lot of people think things can't be restored, but with God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37. So the first scripture we'll be going, turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. We'll be in the 13th chapter, B, 1 through 14. Then I can tell you each one we go through. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's get into it. You already prayed, thanks, Pastor.
Yes, I did.
All right. Restoring of all things, Nehemiah 13, 1 through 14. Their design that goes beyond our own design. Our church does have the theme of each year. We have to tap into the overall design and purpose of God rather than just focus on our own immediate concern. We are to try to plug ourselves into God's overall will for us here in this world. For example, we know that God has put us here to train others as discipline and disciple ministry, even though many will not stay here long. We are satisfied with God using us in his overall kingdom building. Nehemiah was like that. He had the kingdom building concept. He was willing to travel far away and sacrifice his wealth and security for a long group of people far from his home. It is not easy for him as an outsider getting involved in a distant community. I want you to think of Nehemiah as a faithful man of God who managed his own household as well. He excelled in what he did. In my understanding, he was through no verse testifying of specific a figure of Christ would have straightened out God's house. And that's in Acts 3:21 speaks in Christ in this way. Jesus Christ, whom heaven must receive until the period restore all things about which God has spoken out of his mouth of his holy prophet from ancient time. Nehemiah was sent to restore the city of Jerusalem. No doubt, there was a great mission implied the establishment of God's reign in the city of Jerusalem. Christ was sent to the Father to prepare the heavenly Jerusalem. Christ's work was done in such a way that it will last forever. And that's Revelation 21:1-4 says, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for his husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God among men, and he shall dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear of their eyes, and there shall be no longer be any death. There shall be no longer any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. We will see the same throughoutness in Nehemiah's work and service. God is interested in building his kingdom on this earth. He wants to build it through us. We typically lack the vision he has for us. We are concerned with the children getting into good education or job. This is a course of good. But sometimes we lack the devotion of God and godly family. We only give them enough dust of the church through Sunday school, hoping they don't get in trouble and get an education and a good job. We just want them to get by comfortably. God sent Jesus to this world to bring us one big step further. He wants us to get eternal life, a life where it is enduring as well as his righteous character. He has called us to join him in his kingdom building. Application, let me ask you, are you thinking about what God wants you to do in life or most focused on what you want to do in your life? God often uses people in a situation, good and bad, to shape us. He wants us to be more effective and blessed. He wants us to be blessed so that we can pass these blessings on to others. This generation generally has no moral backbone and therefore lack these blessings. Our desires and emotions lead us rather than biblical principles. We live in a convenient, not promissory. We might be deliberate being disobedient, but just out of lack of concern of zealous. We tend to go back in circumstances. When we think of it, pressure in our life really brings greater blessing than lack of pressure. I use the bread mixture at home quite regularly. It is I make bread that decides what ingredient that I'm going to put in it or into the pot. I force them to mix and add the machine because I mix certain things in the mixture. I can predict the outcome. Of course, I need to pay attention more to the balance of ingredients, but there is a certain, also the pressure of the pan and the time of heat. I want to be certain results, so I go after certain controlled environment to bring this best result. Christian living is better described as a Christian disciple. Discipleship, the word discipline is closely related to discipline. There in the life of a constrained, this developed a great likeness like our master. In our lifestyle and talk, but today's generation is repulsive from constraint. They live in formation of for promising freedom, happiness come from what they're doing, what they desire and not desire of another. Many is probably believing that freedom is a choice in right living. Let's look at reading about Nehemiah. But time have gone on which when we reach the last chapter, as I was speaking about the bread, mixing, certain ingredients must be put in there for that bread to rise. The same thing with the word of God in our minds. We must renew our mind each and every day to have the right ingredients of kingdom mind setting. I use the metaphor of baking. You got to put some in to have something. If you don't put enough in your mind. Because, see, faith comes by hearing what? Hearing the word of God. But we're going to look at how Nehemiah had faith. He believed in what God had gave him as an assignment. Everyone on this earth has assignment and a purpose. God knows the plan and purpose for everyone on this earth. But we all have choices and free will. But we're going to look at Nehemiah 13. Amen? In Nehemiah 13, we find Nehemiah returning a long absence. I think about how appreciative what Nehemiah had done for the people. God was greatly working in the midst during the time. They got back into control. They built up defense wall. They actually ruled the city. The priests were restored in a proper role. The people were taught by God's word and began to carry out the command that they were long hidden inadequate. They were the people of shame, misery, and later became the people that had so much to celebrate. But when Nehemiah returned, we find that discovery that they as a people were already making serious for promise of their faith. Yet one could look at it as a freedom of choice. They had their own lives to live, but Nehemiah saw the individual proper choose as one with great anticipation, the whole community. He didn't look at himself. He didn't look at what he had to do. He looked at the whole community. And see, just like today, what's going on in your community? Well, let's get back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah came up very strong, restoring things back to normal. We see a zealous, almost a madness in making things normal. I think of Jesus in the temple ripping up the money changers' table when I see Nehemiah here. What are we to learn in this chapter? I think we are to see Nehemiah returning visit with the sign of God's grace. It was a pressure. It was difficult. One could even use the word force, but God was trying to bring back what was good in their life. If we are immature, we will not easily accept these restoration project plans from the outside of our life. We have to re-involve over that. But really, we need God's work of discipline in our life, preserving what is good. Otherwise, we have to fail into a great sin of decay, as Nehemiah warned his people in Nehemiah 13:26. Sorry about this, y'all. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin against these things? Yet among many nations, there was no king like him, and he was loved by God, and God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused him even what? Sin, to lose out of the parts of the kingdom. Had the whole kingdom, but behind sin. And God instructed him what not to do. Amen. Four times the word reminds me are used in this chapter. Each time they captured the difficult, unpleasant things, it was for Nehemiah to be in the pressure that God used to help restore his people. Remember, prayer brought him to God about bringing his divine grace in otherwise very unpleasant tasks. I want you to join and train ourselves and our mind. The four events, and God will encourage the people to choose what rather tolerate one of his words. All right, let's look at the first one. We're going to look at A is restoring sanctification. And that is, let's go on a break. Pastor, I got an emergency right here. Pastor?
Okay. All righty.
All righty.
All righty. Let's play a song here. Let's play a song by Sean Curran called A Thousand Names. Here we go. Amen. That was 1,000 Names by Sean Curran. Amen. All right, Pastor Wanda. Are you there? Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me bring it back on. Pastor
Hello?
Wanda, you there? Hello?
I've been talking. Hello?
Oh, I can hear you.
Pastor. You can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I apologize because I'm still on call, okay? Got one phone here and a lot of things still going on, but all is well. But we're going to get back into we in 13, 1 through 14. Thorn sanctification in the temple. First, we find that there's compromise and division that impact the whole temple worship. It started in a small kind of gesture. The high priest Ezra was appointed in charge of the chamber of the house of God. They were used to store grain, offering frankincense, utensils, tithes of grain, wine, and oil for the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers. Then it just had happened that these were the very influenced people of Torben, who had the related of Ezra, who had, however, got permission to stay in one of these very large storerooms. All of a sudden, we have seen this big guy move into the storeroom and make it his home. He had the best food, wine, oil, utensils. It is like a rat having his home in a corn soil. What do you think would have happened to all the volunteer offering once the news was heard? If we knew the volunteer offering would be in the storeroom, managers be very powerful other than God had appointed, you would have been in very little interest in this offering to be as well and use. You would have only given out the conscious, only squeak of a little thing. This is, of course, brought further the case in the temple service. Nehemiah had done a lot of restoring in the temple worship, including the Levite, the priest, gatekeeper, and singer. He restored the livelihood, which depend wholesome on the tithe to people. We should be surprised the whole system broke down because the Levite and the others were not getting their portion in tithe. They had been returned to the field to care for their family. It is like Nehemiah first noted that Torben had been taking a room for permission on the high priest, and then note the broke down priestly system. We don't know if Torben had planned the collapse of the priest system or whether he had just been greedy for food and power. In case of the two were close connected, it doesn't really matter, except that sin in the house of God will always cause breakdown of worship. The compromise of the allocation of space and resort of what belongs to God will result in disturbing of worship and service. Nehemiah insisted. He was probably wondering why no one else did anything about it. He went and threw Torben and all the things out. He had given an order to clean the room and restore the things to proper uses. Having done this, he restored the tithing system and again posted the Levite singing and etc. back to the original place. Furthermore, to assume corruption did not come again, occur again, appointing others represented in different groups. To be in charge of the storeroom and distribute of tithe, Ezra lost his appointment. Ezra was still related to Torben. What was going on here? One moved in and came with chaos and drama and confusion, and it was out of order. So Nehemiah got to get the house of God back in order, the temple. Amen? You see, it's two of them. One moved in and took over. So Nehemiah, man of God, had to get it back in order, Torben and Ezra. Now, order is cleaning. He's doing a spiritual cleaning. He had to find out what was going on. The God house must be in order. Let's look at the application. Amen? It is hard for any church to stand up with leaders who compromise. But if you have done wrong, please, it is your duty to bring it to the elders. The promise we can only see one room affect the whole service. If one mess up, it messed everything up. That's why back then they just had priests. See, we have a high priest to bring things in order. We have Jesus today. See, we don't need a priest to take our sins or anything in a little box. Okay? Back then, they had priests. So we have a high priest, and we are called priests to it as well. Amen? So they had to bring everything back to the priest, take it to the elders. That's what's going on right here. They have to get everything back in order as God has designed it. Come back to obedience. That's what Nehemiah was bringing back to obedience. Let's look at restoring sacredness to the Sabbath. We'll be in 13:15-22. Amen? The second event is which Nehemiah the second event which Nehemiah brought the pressure upon the community where it was to act, it was unacting, unfaithful. Each was exposed to the era of disobedience. In case was a general subsidized and of the Sabbath. The Jews were not doing any work, buying or trading on the Sabbath. For the Jews, the Sabbath was the Friday evening to the Saturday evening. Verse 15. All right. Trending wine presser, gathering and delivering the grain and wine, figs and other things, selling the food and because of buying food. Because of their own weakness outside came Tyre and other places to sell and select goods from Jerusalem. They were not, they didn't only just not come from Judah to do this also, but in Jerusalem. Nobody wanted to miss out on this important fish brought from the sea. Again, we look, Nehemiah was rebuked them and shut the gates on the Sabbath for legalism, okay? It didn't look like he was carrying out for certain laws. I'm sure the sick people who could not benefit from certain goods being sold in the market. They had not been frozen. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have freezers back then. But Nehemiah lived in the fear of God. This differed from a spirit of manipulation or legalism. Notice the repriming in verse 18. Did not your father do the same thing? So our God brought us and on this city all this trouble. Yeah, you are adding to the wrath of Israel by profaning. They didn't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. No work. But they was doing everything God told them not to. God rested on the Sabbath. Amen? All right. I hope y'all, this is an awesome teaching that God has given me. All right. If you merely is doing these things on and prefer to others, then we'll see that no, this doesn't matter. We can say everyone should have their freedom of choice. You do not have to buy anything on the Sabbath, but if others want, they should. Nehemiah knew the issue was spiritual issue. God was in on this deal. God's wrath was on them because of their sin. They had been example from the fathers, and all their troubles had been for their sin. Nehemiah prayed again. Reminds us of difficulty he had to confront these issues. It is not easy for him to face those that was making money on the Sabbath. That's the same. When God, a lot of people just calls, you have to give God one day. Nehemiah had to bring everything back in order, what God had told him. He know what the fathers did in the past. So Nehemiah is praying for these people, okay? The community. Not to do anything, not to make money on Sunday, okay? It's different today. We see a lot of people want to work. I can give an example. Chick-fil-A. Now, I thank God for Chick-fil-A. They don't be open on Sunday for nothing. Mr. Truitt, he did not want to. He honored God, and that's how when you honor God on that Sunday, do you know that's why his business and the favor of God is on that business, Chick-fil-A.
Amen.
Nehemiah prayed again. It is not easy for him to face those that were making money on the Sabbath. It is not easy to convince the people not to buy fresh food on the Sabbath. He needed God's great compassion and love in the heart to these things to do rightly. Okay? I believe the trust sense of the Sabbath have been fulfilled by those who believe in Christ. We have to enter the final rest in Christ. Our life depends on Christ, not our good work. But there is a temptation in that we live in this world. There's temptation to strive for excellence for yourself rather than for God. Along the way, we face the decision that will cut into the time of God. We will join in this feverish part of the world to maintain the closeness of God. This age is now resting where the excel in the kingdom building. We must do the things what we're supposed to do at home. You know, on the Sabbath, you know, you're supposed to rest. Not do nothing. Spend time with God. I read the Bible. I don't do anything on the Sabbath. I made a mistake when I catch myself want to work and do things and be so busy. If we did work all this week, why you can't give God one day and spend time with him? Just spend time with him. Rest. Watch spiritual things. Listen to worship. All right, let's take a break. The next thing we'll be looking at, God restore purity to the God's people. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All righty. Let's play another great song here. This is called The Love of Jesus by Mac Brock. Here we go.
Are you joining the service, Pastor? It's a lot.
Yes,
but it's
great.
Awesome. It's all the Word of God. Now let's look at restoring purity to God's people. We'll be in Nehemiah 13:23-29. The third confrontation has to do with the dedication of the family. Nehemiah came again strong. He did it not just because there was a law of books, but because obedience of the laws affect the way God would deal with his people. The biggest problem is that many of us live as if God is not really there. So God instruction are important, but not this important. For example, we can set the wrong for the Christian to marry a non-Christian from this verse. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Do not be brought together with unbelievers, for what partnership or what harmony has Christ and Balaam, or what the believer in common with an unbeliever, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we have the temple of a living God, just as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out among them from the midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty God. Now, you might take the commandment serious until you meet up with a delightful person at work. After a bit sharing, you see yourself as a possible marriage mate. You're a Christian and hoping that one day you'll find that the right person, he or she, is such a good person that that person would accept Christ if he knew a little bit more. In fact, some promising have already happened because you share many things with that person, but not with his clear witness of Christ. You didn't want to offend that person, I suppose. We just have to realize how much God is displeased at our unwillingness to consider marriage with a non-believer. God really is concerned of your welfare. Nehemiah had a great zeal out of what he sees in contending with his parents, cursing them, striking some of them, and even pulling their hair. Lest he made them swear that they would not give their children over in marriage in case of a non-Jew. The reason is, again, clearly that this is just a vicious law keeper and the laws that he had set up. Not at all. He knew the welfare that people depends on protecting their faith. Once was tolerated for another's faith in their family. Then the faith in compromising, we are not part of the kingdom building. If our family is divided, much anguish will come from that marriage. The application. This is a direct warning for us not to marry an unbeliever. I would not step further in the spirit with this teaching and say that we should find a mate who has a common heart or vision that we have. Some people get married on the other side of their baptism task. Yet, we can be happy that we are baptized so we can marry them. But we should be very careful if we know not of the real heart of the one that is uncircumcised. Okay? Amen? I also encourage the parents to be like Nehemiah. Amen? He didn't want his people to be unequally yoked. That's the same thing. Light and darkness does not mix. Amen? Let's look at D. Restoring all things to design. And this is going to, it's Nehemiah 13:30-31. This is the last verse. We find the fourth is our event. So we did A, B, C, and D of restoring what was going on at the time. On the fourth event where Nehemiah restored everything to its design, I marvel at Nehemiah's faithfulness in leaving not one stone unturned. He made sure everything was working out right. He had the priests purified. He made sure everybody was doing their job. He made sure that you would be wood for the sacrifice. If I had the nice balls of bread mix, would I mind if someone dropped one small drop of wait a minute. No. I ain't gonna read that. That don't pertain here. It says then other days banged the bottles of corn bowl. It splashed into a small fritter. We had to throw some dishes away. Well, we thought we might get a piece of out of it if we had some. There is a price of purity, no matter what in our life we might think of the inconsequential, but it is not. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "For it is time for judgment of things in the household of God, and begins with us first. What will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We are wise if we have discipline to work through each area of our life. Search for God to cleanse us, not just from a stain of sin, but also the presence in our heart. We need to change the way we live, talk, walk, and make decisions." And that is Psalm 139:23-24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know me, my anxieties, my thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful ways in me, and lead me in an everlasting way." Every sinful way is a hurtful way. We often do not have the willpower to make the decision needful to change our life. This reminds me of the man with whose limp was caught under a tree. His choice was simple, being out of the wood by himself. Either he would have served with the limp and go to rescue and slowly die. He cut off the way of freedom. We need to understand the kingdom building vision that the Lord wants us to share with him. We are to have been taught from promise and not to tolerate sin that makes us ineffective. We do not need to use compromise because of guilt lag. We need the word of choice and the freedom to do what we want. We should have that. However, we need to fully thought through the cost of our decision because we have compromised in different ways in our life. Our faithful Father in heaven will, though different means like Nehemiah, challenge us to do what is right. Maybe he will make a move. Maybe he will do it through a lost job. Maybe he will do it through shut the gates, close up opportunity. Maybe he will do it by contending with us and even striking you. Maybe he will do it to change those things around us. God, if he is our Father, pledge to discipline us for our good. If we see God like Nehemiah, we should know that it is not just God is angry because we have violated his promise, but the consequence of doing it on you and others will distort us. He wants us to turn to his loving truth. He wants us to trust him rather than to get better. But he wants something more, I believe. As I look at these people, I found the story going back from their evil ways after Nehemiah left. I would wish that we would bring God's truth right inside our heart. We can act immediately in our life and strike here and there, but God intends that we grow up as Christians, meaning that to take his truth as treasure and within our heart. So even if our circumstances change, you move home and wrestle with difficult decisions, you'll be faithful. I think of my son, Daniel, that wears a cast around his leg. He needs to support 6 weeks of broken bone to heal. This protects us from extra pain. We will be guided and healed and possessed. But we are going to keep on, cast all in our life. It will protect your leg. God wants us to treasure his principle, just like a broken leg, so that the proper time will come, real healing, and take off that cap. You might have got upset with the way Nehemiah pushed himself into the life of Israel community, but if you take an honest look at the things that were worth keeping were the very thing that protected him, built him, and guarded him. Many people in our life in spirit of despair, there's no hope. They don't believe there's any better thing just mopping around. God's desire is that we become kingdom builders and live the life that he has called us. That is your reading, and that is your teaching. God bless the reading of the word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That was a wonderful teaching, Pastor Marna.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. That's what God gave me to read today, how God can restore and rebuild anything. But certain people, he don't want us to be around, certain things we must do. And we just have to persevere through anything. If God have called you to do something great, do it, because he will not fail you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's call the altar call.
Yeah. Okay. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is believe that the Lord can save you, okay? And you can do this by simply saying this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out. I know and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door for you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. Well, and we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. And if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would like to welcome you into the family of God. And we'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you safe. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call into 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. 1487 and press 1 key. And when you press the 1 key, we'll bring you on and you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight. Amen. Yeah. All righty. Well, we got a caller here, Pastor Wanda. Let's take it.
All right.
111, you're on the air.
Hello? It's Grover Washington.
Hey, Grover.
That's Wanda. This is Grover Washington.
Hey, Grover.
Hello? I'm in San Antonio, Texas. I was wanting to know how the homeless in Atlanta, how's it going for the homeless?
They're giving people vouchers. They're doing what God is doing.
What do you mean, vouchers?
Homeless, they give an apartment voucher.
I'm down in San Antonio. Do you think it'd be a good idea for me to go over there to Atlanta?
Send your application out online to Atlanta Housing Authority. Atlanta Housing Authority. Fulton County, they doing a different one, okay?
All right. Now, before I go to Atlanta, could you please send me some of your used underwear?
Oh, Grover.
Don't say that. No, don't say that. Listen, Grover, you know what? A lot of people make mistakes and choices out of their mouth. Death and life in the power of tongue and those who choose is true. Proverbs 18:21. So you can't offend me, and you're not going to offend anybody on the radio station. See, we have choices. That's what I just talked about, choices.
I just want to smell
them. God hurts you. Listen, God hurts you. He right there. He said, well, two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. It's nothing can go unturned without God knowing. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. He never sleeps and never slumbers. He watches over those who are faithful. So I'd be mindful. Mindful. You can speak things upon your life. I know I'm blessed. See, you can't curse anything that's blessed. And he's going to fight the battle
curse.
For me. That's a certain thing. Listen, you're coming out a child of God. He said, that's not my anointing. Do my prophets no harm. I've been anointed, appointed, and established by God. So you have a blessed and a prosperous night in Jesus' name.
What about?
All right, next caller, Pastor. Next caller, Pastor.
Okay. Well, we have no more callers at this present time.
All right, Pastor. I love you, Pastor. You have a blessed woman of God. Those of King stand strong. Trust God. He is a mighty God.
Okay.
He loves you. And God bless you. See you on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, have a blessed weekend and a blessed Sunday.
You too, my sister. God bless you.
All right. God bless.
All right. 111, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Frank Ballman. I just wanted to let Wanda know that I received the panties, and they smelled like rotten yogurt. And
111, you're on the air.
Is this the show for buy panties? I wanted to buy Wanda's panties.
Show for buy panties. Goodbye. All right. Let's play some more music here. All right. Okay, let's play a song here, okay, called Cornerstone. Okay, it's by Toby Mac featuring Zach Williams.
You ready, man? Okay.
Yeah, looking out my window, feeling the crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold,
I'm
Amen. Okay, the second song was King of Victory by Watermark Music. And the last song was The Way, the Truth, the Life by Johnny Henninger and Naomi May. Amen. All right. Okay, let's bring on a caller here, 111. You're on the air. Hello? 111, you're on the air. Okay, I guess they don't want to speak. Let's bring on another caller. 111. You're on the air.
Penis?
Goodbye, Dick Yapper. All right. Well, let's give a shout-out to everybody that's in the chat room. Give a shout-out to Mike Hunt, Ashley, DC2, Tony Farrar, Gavin Moorhead, Suncoast Ricky, and Kurt McGill, buddy. Okay. Give a shout-out to Pastor Wanda for her blessed message this evening. Give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his kinfolk. Okay. May God bless them. Amen. Okay, let's take another call here. 111, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm calling from Monsanto, which is now a part of Bayer Germany Chemical.
No.
Yes, I am.
You are?
And the good news is we want to synthesize a substance that's in Wanda's panties to use as a weed killer.
Okay, goodbye, caller. Okay, enough of that craziness. All right, okay. Okay, so we've got no more callers at this particular time. So I will go with the prophetic word of the day. The Father says today, step into my intentionality. I am an intentional God. Every process of creation is under my direct and immediate stewardship each and every moment. There is nothing random about who I am or what I do. Make a choice to be intentional as I am intentional. I give each and every breath you breathe along with every creature on the planet as an active choice moment by moment. My attention span is not limited by the billions of acts of creation that I hold in my regard. For this reason, I am near as breath of your nostrils, for each one is gift offered when you breathe in and give back to me when you breathe out. The enemy wants you to fret over what happened yesterday and worry about what is coming tomorrow. And that is so absolutely unnecessary. I am the God of your tomorrows, and there is nothing of your past that has the power to define what your tomorrows look like. Your past has no power to breach my intentionality where your future is concerned. So rejoice and be glad. Aren't you pleased that what others think of you does not determine what I think or what I have planned? I am not adjusting my eternal purposes where you are concerned by the good or bad opinion of men. In the light, then, make it your choice today to waste no more of the precious strengths I have given you, thinking or saying about you. Let that go. Forgive them and look up. Relinquish every false anchor in your life to that man-pleasing spirit, for what I have in mind for you will never be checked or impeded by the small-minded ideas of men who refuse to take into account the loving kindness that I shower you with each and every day. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All right, let's take some callers here. Okay, 111.
Bro.
Okay, 111. Okay, 111.
Goodbye.
Okay, 111.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Hello.
111. You're on air.
Hello.
All right. 111, you're on air.
Said it.
Yeah.
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much, sir, DC2. What's going on with you, my brother?
Not much, my man. I was going to call earlier, but Wanda was on. And then I wasn't going to call, but then I got a strange private message from Johnny Longfeather. He sent me a photo of his, I guess it's an erect penis, but it looks like a door switch or something, like a light switch.
Oh.
And he said something about a man named Herman fucking him too hard, too deep. Did you know Johnny is in a gay relationship with a man named Herman?
No, I didn't know that.
I don't know why he felt the need to make that known to me. Because I don't know
him
either. I did not need to see that, man. I mean, Kenny, I'm talking about the smallest penis you've ever seen, brother. And I haven't seen many penises, but this has to be the smallest penis of all times. It's the Muhammad Ali of small penises.
Wow.
Amen. I'm hoping
he'll
call in and explain.
Yeah, maybe he will, okay? Maybe Johnny's the next caller here. Let's see who we got. Maybe it's Johnny. 111, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Kid. This is Mike Lindell. How you doing? The inventor of My Pillow.
All right there, Mike Lindell. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're trying to market to the gay community, to the Christian community, and we want to sponsor you to be our guest spokesman for My Dildo. Would that be all right with you?
Who do you want to sponsor?
Yeah, I wanted to sponsor you because you're gay man and you're a Christian, you're a pastor, and we wanted to do a product called My Dildo.
Oh, okay. You want to sponsor me? Okay, that would be great.
All right. Well, we'll have our interns call you. We have your number, so we'll call you soon, sir. You have a good day.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mike. Have a blessed day. All right.
Penny, do you even use dildos?
Do I use dildos? No.
Well, no, the reason why I'm asking is why would you have a man or a company, what do they want to do? Be a partner on the show or?
I guess they want a sponsor.
Okay, why would you want a sponsor that you don't even use the product, brother?
I don't know.
That's very odd, Kenny.
Yeah, well, you never know what you might get here, you know. Okay.
It's like a Forrest Gump. It's like a box of chocolates, brother. You never know what you're going to get. It might be a dildo. It might be some KY jelly. Some jelly.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Amen. Got any other callers, Kenny?
Yeah, we got another caller here, 111. Let's take it and see what we got. 111, you're on here.
Ken, you've got a no good lying motherfucker on the phone accusing
me
of terrible crimes.
Kenny,
dick,
you could not even call me, Kenny? Call me a brother. A motherfucker, Kenny, on a godly show.
Yeah, let's not use that language here, Johnny.
I didn't ask.
Well, I got more than
a
light switch.
Let me say this. I didn't ask to hear about Herman. I didn't ask to hear about it, but yet I will post it. I will post it.
Fake. What do you mean light switch?
Johnny, that is a tiny dick, Johnny. I'm sorry, but it is a tiny penis.
Well, I don't have a lot, but I have more than a light switch. But
okay,
I didn't see any pictures.
All right, Kenny. I will say it looked like a thumb, Kenny. It looked like a thumb.
My thumb's not that not small. Thumbs aren't small. Unless you're a midget like Doug. Whatever happened to him, by the way?
I mean, when you're comparing a thumb to your penis, and if it's close to the same size, nigga, unless you minute bowl, that's a problem.
Kenny's lying. I think somebody faked my email. Anybody can make a fake email account and send it to them.
Well, that's fair.
Fake pictures.
I mean, that is possible. I mean, it did say Johnny Longfeather fucks asshole in it. So, it sounded a little nefarious, if you will.
I think
because I don't think
several...
Johnny would be Johnny. You wouldn't be so perverse and crass, would you? You wouldn't be like
no,
that.
No, I mean I could see somebody like Ashley doing it, or Gavin Moorhead, or Suncoast Ricky.
Okay,
Turd McGillicuddy. Turd McGillicuddy could do it.
I mean, he spelt fucks FUCHS and ass ACE. So I had to decipher it. I think it might have been Kent.
So that says Fuchs Ace.
Yeah. Well, I think I know what it meant, though.
Well, then it might be Kent.
That's my guess.
Spelling it.
Kenny, have you got this? Have you gotten anything from that email address?
No.
From Johnny Lanza, the Fuchs Ace?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope you're not as lucky as I am, because that was upsetting, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that Johnny called in and rectified, pardon the pun. Rectified the situation.
Well, you know, it could have been Tony. Gosh, Tony Gaga likes you so much, Johnny.
Yeah, but Tony ain't retarded, though. He don't spell... Well, yeah, never mind. He is retarded. Never mind. It could have been him.
Spell like he spells like
a
demented person. And, Ken, congratulations on the new dildo sponsorship. That's great.
It'll remind you of your old times back in North Carolina. What was the name of that town you lived in? Blue Hills? What was
Blue Balls.
Havelock.
Blue Balls.
Havelock, yeah. When you used to sell the dildos and run the cocaine out of the shop and all that. That was a good time, wasn't it?
I didn't do that either.
The chicks with dicks. He had videos.
Chicks with dicks, Kenny.
Yeah, I had those videos. Yep.
What'd you do with those?
Believe it or not. You know I ran those movies, Chicks with Dicks, okay, to a lot of Marines.
I know
Marines.
What he's gonna say. I knew he was gonna
Marines.
Say. I knew he was gonna say straight people.
Really?
Well, I don't know if they were straight or not, but they were Marines.
Kenny?
Number five.
I mean, maybe they was like the Village People style Marines. They just dressed
in
the part, brother. Yeah, they just
in
dressed
the
part, Kenny.
Maybe.
It was an Indian? What was a police officer and also a minor involved? No? Okay. All right.
Okay,
Cowboy.
Let's take another caller here. 111, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm. Joey Gibson.
Well, I wanted to know, what type of patty is the Waterloo wear?
Say what?
What type of panties Wanda wears?
Johnny, is that three or four?
I don't know. We're not going to entertain this on the show. Okay.
Is Johnny still on the line? Johnny, is that three or four, brother?
I think two.
No.
Three?
It's more than two, bro. At least three. Sorry, Kenny.
Okay.
We have a side conversation. Sorry, Kenny. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Let's take another call. Still here. 111. You're on the air.
Four?
Okay.
Yep.
Dildo. Okay.
Yeah,
chicks
that,
with dicks.
That was you.
Okay. Chicks with dicks.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's you.
Okay,
that's
goodbye.
You,
I give it a, again, I give it about a 5 on an imitation.
I like the content, though.
Content was fine, but the voice is just, you know, we'll do a little better next time, brother. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we got another caller here, 111.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Kenny. It's fun to do the okay, so.
Can I rent one of those videos, Chicks with Dicks?
I don't have them anymore. Sorry.
Was it VHS, shit. Kenny? Kenny, was it DVDs or VHS, brother?
Yeah, they were VHS. They were videotapes. They weren't disc.
Oh, that's right.
That was weird.
That was very weird.
Dickie Hopper.
I got excited. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh. Well.
Ken, why does Wanda talk so much?
Because she can.
Kenny, that's the funniest shit you've ever said, man. You didn't even mean to be funny.
Okay.
I walked right into that one. Tony, I heard a rumor that Tony Ferrara is out there watching UFC.
Yeah,
he likes the man-on-man grappling, Johnny.
Does Tony Ferrara
ever...
He likes
it for the same reason you do, Johnny.
That's gross. Does Tony Ferrara ever critique their man holds or positioning? Does he tell them they're doing it wrong?
No, but he does say sometimes, okay, that if they want to get the other person's attention, just put the finger in the butthole.
Oh,
is that how Dick Nolan got your attention?
That's funky. That's funky, Kenny. You know what's funny?
Dan Garza.
You know, Johnny Longfeather sends me screenshots of people's packages randomly during the football season. It's a really wonderful thing that he always does. Very strange because he's a straight man, but he does send a lot of, you know, penis. And I figured maybe Tony Frog, you know, likes to look at that too, but I don't know.
Like Dak Prescott.
I don't know the men's that you be sending me, but you be sending
Dak
me men.
Dak Prescott?
I don't like it.
Well,
Ferrara, Kenny,
Can we keep one more? Let's check in and see who we have.
Can we get 5 on it?
Oh, one, you're on here.
I got 6 on it.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay, that's terrible. I mean, that's terrible. Come on, brother. Step it up, brother.
Okay.
I am better. Kenny, he does do a better you than Grover. I'll say that.
Chicks with dicks. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Goodbye. All righty.
Batting 0%, brother. Oof. Anyway, Kenny, what do you got planned for your Sunday? I know you got service and you're going to go to church. Well, what else do you have planned, brother?
Not a thing.
Not
go
a
out
thing,
to
Kenny.
Eat.
It's Sunday. Day of the Lord, brother.
Go out to
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, I know. Well, probably.
You and my boy
eat
some tacos, Kenny?
Victor's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, little Victor's got a birthday. Is he 17? 18, Kenny.
And now he's much older than that. He'll be
65 tomorrow.
Are you
going to
sing him happy
God
birthday? Where are you taking him?
We wanted to take him out to eat, but he said he wants to cook enchiladas tomorrow for his birthday.
He wants to cook on his birthday, man? That is very gay. That's very gay. A gay man wanting to cook. A man wanting to cook on his birthday, that's the gay man. Amen.
That's very gay.
Kenny,
amen.
That motherfucker aged like 45 years in 1 year. He was just 16 last year. Now he's 65. That's an aging motherfucker, man.
Victor was never 16.
He went from just getting his license to now he's AARP, brother.
Yeah, we have to take another caller. 111, you're on there.
Can I get John Elway in the house?
15 calls.
Assalamu alaikum, Kenny.
Oh,
Hey, what's up there, Hassan? How you doing?
I just wanted to listen, but hear this. Tell Victor happy 65th month birthday.
Oh.
All right.
It's his 65th month, right?
It's 65th year.
Is that month?
He's 65 years old.
That'd make him like 5.5 years old, wouldn't it?
So he's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah, Ben, I said the same thing, man. Me and the sign on the same page, brother. The agent backwards.
Two Muslims.
The agent backwards, brother.
All right, put me back on hold.
Okay, we'll do. Goodbye. All right, number 111 caller, you're on the air.
John Elway?
Okay.
That's enough
of that.
That was
wild.
And you can't call him the R word. It's not politically
correct
anymore.
I give him an A for effort.
Can he get to 8? Can he do 8?
Yeah, he did 8. E for execution, brother. I would like
number 8. Matt Hasselbeck, number 8.
Got another caller, 111.
There it is. Now this is the joke.
Come on here.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to listen to your voice. Can you talk dirty to me?
Victor.
Oh, okay. What do you like
Victor.
About it?
This is going in a really gross direction, Kenny.
Victor. It's Victor.
Hello, this is Victor. Can you say dirty team?
Kenny, you know what you should tell him? Tell him the 5 levels of sucking cock. I remember you said that. Tell him that. He'll get finished real quick, I guarantee you. It only take a few minutes. Kenny, come on, man. There's a lot of gay men listening to this show. Just you know, break it down, brother.
Nope, not gonna do it.
Is it you only give that away on your OnlyFans, Kenny? You gotta pay for that, brother. I'm sorry, you gotta pay on the OnlyFans for Kenny's dick sucking tips, brother. Kenny, just talk to him, man. Say some funny shit to him. I don't know. Whatever you want.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, anyway.
Got it. Shut it. Kenny, you shutting it down?
Yeah, I'm going to shut it down.
Wait,
we got another caller.
Did Johnny hang up?
Oh, duh, this is Doug. How you doing, Pastor Kid?
Number 9.
Doug. Number 9.
Jim
Doug.
McMahon. Jim McMahon, number 9.
Nick Foles, baby.
Pray for my brain, so small. Can you pray for my brain?
He could have been dead. He could have died. Doug could have died. We wouldn't know.
That's true.
Is it the ghost of Doug?
Maybe he lives in Pennsylvania.
I guess I could just look up
Doug in Pennsylvania, see what he...
I got a friend here. He wants to talk to you.
This does not count as 10, by the way.
Okay.
Frank. Hey, Pastor Kid, this is Frank. Frank,
hey, Frank.
Go. Yeah, how you doing? I'm no longer a janitor. I'm an ice cream truck driver now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mr. Softy.
Yes, sir.
They call you, Johnny.
I go through every neighborhood where all the kids are at. But you're gonna close the show off.
Yeah, I was going to end the show and say goodnight to everybody. And go eat some lasagna.
Microwave.
No, not microwave, Johnny.
Oh.
Oh, he's going to bake it? What are you going to do?
It's already been baked. All I got to do is just...
So you're going to warm it up in the microwave like he said, Kenny?
Yeah, you got to warm it up.
Yeah, I'm going to warm it up. Like microwave.
You doing a show tonight, Kenny?
Huh?
You doing a show tomorrow night, man?
No, probably not. Probably not. I'm probably going to take Sunday off.
Amen. When will you be back? Like Wednesday or something?
I'm hoping maybe Monday.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
All righty, guys. Take it easy. Have a blessed night. And see you again Monday night. Bye-bye.
Oh.